You're still moving towards that point in your life. So whether it takes, you know, 5 months or 5 years to get there or 10 years to get there, you're still moving towards that goal and you're moving at your pace. So give yourself grace.
Welcome to the Moms Who Create podcast. I'm Kelly Heil, a mom, author, and artist, and I'm on a mission to celebrate and empower you. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, I'm sharing my insights and resources, diving into the stories of amazing writers, artists, and entrepreneurs, and helping you rewrite the narrative of balancing motherhood with your creative journey. Grab your coffee, a notebook, and let's get started. This is the Moms Who Create podcast. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Moms Who Create podcast. So today's guest is author and mom, Donna Earnhardt. Donna is the author of Being Frank, published by Flashlight Press. When Donna isn't spending time with her family or writing, you can find her learning the Irish language, researching local history, or trying to find new ways to avoid housework. Aren't we all? I'm also partnering with Flashlight Press to celebrate their 20th anniversary of publishing by hosting a giveaway of 20 of Donna's children's book, Being Frank. Yes, you heard that right, 20 copies. So as you're listening to this episode or after, hop over to my Instagram at Moms Who Create Podcast and enter to win. Look for my most recent post about this episode. Like it and comment tagging one of your mom friends. You can also share it for an extra entry too. I'll keep the giveaway open for like 1 week and close it at the end of the day next Monday, the 22nd. Go to the post to see all the details and eligibility and everything. Donna is the cutest. She has the best Southern accent, and she and I both share a love for Bigfoot and cozy mysteries. And I love when I can vibe with people over Bigfoot. You're going to love her. Enjoy today's episode. Donna, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast. I'm really excited to talk about Being Frank and then also hit on your cozy mystery, because you know I love cozy mysteries. You might not know, but everyone knows I love cozy mysteries. So thank you again for joining me, and go ahead and just introduce yourself to everybody.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. Like I said, I'm Donna Earnhardt. I live in North Carolina. I even represent today with my North Carolina shirt.
Love it.
And I have been writing since I was little. Like, my mom still has like the first poem I ever gave her, like 5 years old or something. Oh. And even, you know, how people pass notes in school. My best friend in high school, we would pass notes that we would call future episodes, where whoever it was we had a crush on or whatever, we would write these little future episodes of what was happening, you know?
I love that.
It wasn't even necessarily what was going on now. What was going to happen? And I still have some of those, and I go back and I'm just like, oh my goodness, you know, it was great. Mm-hmm. So I've been writing my whole life. I never thought that I would ever be published. I didn't think that far ahead, you know? And after I got married, and I started writing, actually mystery is what I started writing, was an adult mystery, but then I had kids and I didn't finish it. And then I started writing more poetry and books for children. So that's where I came into the children's book part of it, you know? Oh, yeah. But I've done several different things in my life. I've been a church secretary. I've worked in the music office in school for work study, as many people do, you know, through college. I've been a stay-at-home mom for a long time though. So, but I've done tutoring for a company. It's called Right at Home, but they tutor. It is coaching. So it's writing coaching. So I would help kids with that. And that kind of helped me keep my mind in what I was doing. You know, at the same time I was writing, I was becoming a better writer because I was helping other people, you know, that's the way that goes, isn't it? And anyway, I really enjoyed that, but I homeschooled my kids. They're all grown now. Two are married. One's getting ready to leave the nest and go off to a 4-year school. She's been in a 2-year school for, you know, that one of our local community colleges. And so we're kind of in that transitional stage, my husband and I are. So I'm jumping back into my second book in the Cozy Mystery series. Ooh. So excited about that. Yeah.
I've got
some other picture books too, but I haven't had those published yet. So
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting. Oh, I love it. Part of our conversation today is because we are celebrating Flashlight Press's 20th anniversary, and you have, Being Frank, published with them. So I want to talk about your children's book, Being Frank. I read it and I love it. Frank is adorable and hilarious. And I love also how this is like, it's a really powerful book on educating children just to not say everything that comes to mind. And honestly, this book would be so good for adults to read too. Because sometimes I have that problem of just saying whatever comes to mind, you know, but with, you know, Frank, it was just not the nicest things, but I love how he talked to his grandpa. And anyway, won't give away the story, but I want to talk about this and tell me, where did the idea for the story originate?
It was during NaNoWriMo. Do you ever do NaNoWriMo?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so
I attempted. I've never completed it, but I at least attempted it for 30 days.
Well, I was being a NaNoWriMo rebel. Okay. So, you know, you're supposed to do the 50,000 words. And I was like, well, I'm not writing, you know, novel right now. I'm working on picture books and poetry. So I had challenged myself to write a certain amount of picture books during that month. Right. So not like 50 picture books, but just a certain amount. And I was in the shower washing my hair because that's where a lot of ideas come. Right. And the first line to the book came into my head, you know, and I was like, oh, and so I just repeated that to myself over and over. Well, the first two lines over and over and over again until I got out of the shower, put, you know, could sit down and type it out in my room. And the reason the word Frank, the Frank part of it is my dad's name was Frank. I mean, we called him Donald because it was Frank Donald. And he was not Frank like Frank is in the book. He was a very kind man, not that Frank isn't, but you know, Frank in the book tends to be. My dad was a very kind man. He was very sweet. And he had passed away in 2003. And so I was just missing him. You know what I mean? It was just kind of one of those things, you know, where the people you love pop into your head or, you know, that just you want to honor them in some way. And so it was really cool to me to be able to use his name in a book, you know, for children and just to be able to say, you know, this is an honor, a way to honor him.
Yeah. So, oh, I love
that. But that being said, if you look at the beginning of the book, I don't know if you read the little you know, we dedicate it and it says dedicated to my family of Franks. So our entire family, a wee bit Frank sometime. And I shared this with you earlier, but I want to say this, just going to share with the readers where it says, my housekeeping style is best described as there appears to have been a struggle. And my children gave this to me as a Christmas present. So you can tell they can be a wee bit on the Frank side as well. And I'll say to them, have you read my book? And they just laugh and like, have you? I'm like, yes.
How can you say that in a non-mean way? You could say,
oh, it looks like you guys have had a lot of great, you know, time with your suppers lately. Or
there you go.
Looks like you've been having a great time. Or I don't know. It got to the point where my kids, I'd be like, we need to clean up. And they're like, who's coming over? I'm like, no, it just needs to be cleaned up.
So if you haven't heard, the Moms Who Create Journal is here. I am so excited to share this with you all. I've created this journal for you to fill with your project ideas, whether you're a writer, artist, entrepreneur, musician, or just a creative of any kind. If you're listening to this podcast, I guarantee that this journal is for you. With over 100 blank pages to plan your dreams, here's a space for your creativity to take flight. Go to momswhocreate.com/journal for more information. Available now on Amazon. Being Frank is the cutest book. It's the cutest book. I really like it. And along with this episode, me and you and Flashlight Press are giving away 20 copies of your book to celebrate 20 years of their press, which is really exciting. Yeah. I see that with a lot of the Flashlight Press books, the illustrations are top notch. I mean, they look so good and it goes along perfectly with your story too. So again, they're giving away 20 copies of her book, Being Frank. So just go to the Instagram or Facebook and see how you can enter there to win. Okay. Before we move on and just talk about you being a mom and writing as a mom, I also want to talk about your cozy mystery.
and tell us about your book. I actually have it here on my Kindle. I told you, Vetted for Murder. Love it. Love it. Tell us about this book. And then if you want to, tell us about the second one that you're writing.
It's been a book that had been in my brain for several years. My husband and I went to a Vetted for Murder. I went to a local history meeting, like, you know, where they, you know, local history group. And they talked about, there was a property that was like the oldest in the county. Just immediately the story downloaded into my brain that, oh, what if something happened? What if there was a murder that happened around this, right? What if there was this just local group of people, you know, I thought, oh, and I had that. Well, I started writing that story and I kept trying to write that story. I kept trying to write that story and I could never finish writing that story, which is what Murder in the Air is. So Murder in the Air, which is the book that I'm writing now, is more about that story. So that's, it's funny. The first book I tried to write is now going to be the second one. But Vetted for Murder came because I really could never make the first one I had in my brain work right then. You know, I needed more backstory. So I went back and I started writing and I was like, oh, this is really what I need to do. And Vetted for Murder, you know, the main character, she's moved into this house that belonged to her great aunt and her great aunt Bert. And she is trying to, the house was actually a bed and breakfast. She's not tried to make it, you know, she's tried not to make it work as a bed and breakfast yet because she has a job working for a local paper. And then a murder happens and her boss is accused of the murder. And so she's now having to, you know, try to, you know, clear her boss and all this other wonderful stuff ensues that, you know, does when you're reading a cozy mystery. Of course, there's a love interest. And as I like to do, I include animals in my story. Yeah. There's a big bloodhound you'll see on the front. The backstory with that is I actually had a bloodhound. Her name is mm-hmm. Holly, just like it is in the book. Mm-hmm. And as I tend to do, I include people who I love who may not be here anymore. And so Holly had passed away several years back. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make her this, you know, I'm going to make her one of the main characters. And so she became a big part of this first story. Mm-hmm. And it was really a way just for me to, you know, be able to work. And she was what I would call my heart dog. Have you ever had one of those? Like, you know, where they were just like your baby, you know?
Yes.
She was a rescue. A lot of the things that happened in the book actually did happen in real life. And mm-hmm. so there were just different details that I was able to put in because, you know, things happen when you're a dog owner. And so I was able to really pull from my experience to put that in there. And so, yeah, so that was a real work of love for me because I was able to go in and bring her into the story and just dive into the characters and create the space. Craven Mountain is not a real place. But I've brought in other, like the place I live now is Concord. I've lived in Boone. That's where I went to school. I lived in a small place called Cordova, a little town in North Carolina. And I've been able to just pull different aspects of all the places that I've lived, you know?
Yeah. That has to be fun too, to just like pull from, because you're creating the story. So you can use all your normal life experiences, everything to make it how you want to make it.
Exactly. I will add like little, you know, I'll use family names or I'll use like a street name from Cordova or a street name from Boone. So anybody who's reading it that's from North Carolina would, you know, or these areas might would recognize it or a local restaurant, you know. So it was just really fun kind of putting those little Easter eggs in there for myself and people that knew me, you know. Other people who aren't from here might just be like, oh, you know, that's a neat name. But it's just a fun little thing for me as I'm writing because it helps feel more connected with the story. Anyway. That's what I've done with Vetted for Murder. And Murder in the Air was the original book that I started writing. And now it's the continuation, of course, of the first. So
that's so awesome. I love it. And I can't wait. I'm going to start this one tonight. I can't wait. I downloaded it. It's so cute. My TBR is so big. I have so many books, but I bumped this one up to the front because I'm talking to the author. So like, how can I not?
Thank you very much.
Question. Does being a mom and having like unique experiences with your own children, does that influence your writing? And then do you have any plans of writing any more children's books too?
So yes and yes. Having children, seriously, you know, one of the biggest blessings in my life. I had three daughters, I homeschooled them. And did I get everything right? Absolutely not. Anytime people would say to me, like I'd go to pick them up from, you go to church, take them to Sunday school, picks, like, how were they? They're like, oh, they were perfect angels as always, you know? And they didn't say it like that. They were really sweet. They were like, oh, they're perfect angels as always. But I'm like, don't put that off on my kid. I said, because nobody is perfect. They don't have perfect parents. They're not perfect children. And that's okay. You know what I mean? It's like, and that's part of the thing I think that really influences my writing, because my characters are obviously not perfect children, right? Mm-hmm. Frank's over here telling his teacher that her breath smells, right? My kids have done that. You know, they have said things that just popped out of their face, and I have too, and then realized, oh wait, they get it from me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you realize how much influence you have. And so the things that that with my kids, you know, that I might be saying, oh, well, you need to work on this. It, you know, as a Christian, I always feel the Lord saying, okay, well, you need to work on it too. You know, right. So, yeah. In your life, you need to be working on. So there's always room for growth. And so when I'm writing it, it's not necessarily, oh, this is about my kids. No, it may be things that my children have said or done that have stuck in my brain, you know, that I'm like, oh, wow, you know, I'd like to address this. Or it just comes out in a character. I have, as far as the children's book question, I have a couple of different books. One that I would love to see published at some point. One is called Stuffed, and it's about a moose named Moose, because I'm really, you know, original with names. And you know, and you know, Moose lives by himself in the forest, and he hasn't invited his friends over a lot, because moose are usually, when they're, you know, they're singular unless they're mating, right? So they live by themselves. But Moose used to invite all of his friends over, but he has accumulated a lot of stuff. So his cave and his portion of the forest is stuffed, and he doesn't have room or time to invite his friends over, quite honestly. And so the story is about a bit about hoarding, you know, when, like, I have one of my daughters, she's just precious. She is, even as a child, she would want to keep the smallest of things, right? Like a bottle cap. And another bottle cap. And
my 6-year-old is like that right now. Anything like the little, especially like the little wrapper that goes around your silverware when you go out and eat. She's like, it's my best friend. I'm like, that's not your best friend. It's a piece of paper. Right.
And so you'd be like, but baby, what's special? And one of the taglines in the book is, you know, like, it's all special. You know, all this is important to me. And so, you know, throughout the book, he comes to this understanding of what's, you know, really more important. Not that those other things weren't important to him, but what was most important.
Aww.
You know, and so that's a book that's real close to my heart, because, you know, as I'm going through my house, I think, you know, my husband, he's the same way. He's like, well, I got to keep this. I don't know. Sometimes you marry a spouse that's, you know, the exact opposite of you, and sometimes they're similar. And this way, like, my husband's the opposite of me. He will say, I'm like throwing things away, like, oh, we haven't used it in a year. We're going to take it to Goodwill. And he's like, that's perfectly good. Why are you throwing that away? Or why are you, you know,
I
might use that in 10 years. And of course, if I were to give it away, he would need it the next day. You know what I mean? Like, he wouldn't even know I'd given it away. Where's this thing? It's been there for the last 10 years. Now you've moved it. I need it for a project. I'm like, oh, you know, so that was kind of in my brain too.
No, it's real life. That happens all the time to me.
Yeah. And I have one called Hound Baby, which again features my Holly. And she's in this story, she's found at a shelter as well. And she ends up being a therapy dog, because we always had in our mind she could have been a therapy dog. You know, she's this loud, drooly dog who doesn't really have anything that any type of manners. And this young boy, he and his mother, who run this therapy dog farm, they end up training her and, you know, giving her, you know, helping her find what her job is in life because of her talent, and her talent is cuddling, right? Her talent is making somebody feel loved. So, you know, that's with the therapy. That's what she is, you know, and we all have, I truly believe that we are all given gifts and talents to use to make this world a better place. And so when anybody says to me, I don't have anything, I don't have a talent, I don't have a gift, I'm like, hush your mouth, child. Yes, you do. You just need to find it. you know? You know, don't yeah. tell me you don't have a gift because you do. Yes. So because it doesn't look like somebody else's doesn't mean you don't have gifts, and you need to find them and you need to use them and you need to make this world a better place, you know? So yeah, so I do. And I have other books. One has a little boy named Iggy and another youth, but the youth happens to be a Sasquatch. So it's called Iggy and Squatch. And because I love Sasquatch, I just think that whole thing is just great. I love cryptozoology. That's weird, isn't it?
No, and that's neat.
I love all those stories. And they just, we just recently went up to Western Carolina. Well, that area of New Western. And we went to see, I think I'm going to say it wrong, Jeddakula Rock. And it's, this isn't cryptozoology, but it falls into the whole mystery, you know, mysterious things.
Yeah.
And it's got, I think they call it petroglyph, where there's all these writings on this rock, and it's just out on this farm somewhere. And they think, and from my understanding, it was like the Cherokee used it to like lay out the land, like where the different boundaries are, but on the rock. And please look it up yourself, because I may be telling part of the story wrong, but there's like a drawing, or not a drawing, of like a hand. And that was part of like the lore of this giant that helped, you know, in the Cherokee lore, that would help protect the land or something like that. Yeah. And so when you start reading, you're reading up on different types of lore and different types of, you know, stories like that. And so I just find those all very interesting. And in North Carolina, there's a lot of the stories about, you know, like the wood booger is what they call them.
I haven't heard of that one.
They call them the wood booger, the Sasquatch, the wood booger. Yeah. You never heard of that?
No, I have never heard that term, but so I want to start saying it daily.
I even have a cup with them on. If I knew where it was right now, I would go get it and show you.
That's awesome.
It says like, I've seen a wood booger or something. It's got like a Sasquatch on this piece of pottery. It's fabulous. So,
amazing.
As far as the rock thing, that's a really just interesting piece of Cherokee history that is neat. But as I read the lore, it leads me to other things, again, like Sasquatch and different stuff in Western Carolina. Because as you dig deeper into being somebody from the South, there's a lot of stories. You know what I mean? Like, we saw this or we saw this. And there's a story. And again, you can knock all this out if you want but there's a story about a animal. It was 50s. And it was called the Beast of Bladenboro. You ever heard of that?
I don't think so.
The Beast of Bladenboro? So. Okay, so there was this time frame. And again, please look it up, because I may be getting some of the details wrong, you know, retelling. Because that's what happens, right? Yeah. We retell stories and we get some of the information wrong. But the Beast of Bladenboro, there were like all these people, like policemen, pastors, different people that saw this beast that they said was basically sucking the blood out of their animals. And it was in like a newspaper. So like there were newspaper coverings of this. And some people thought that it was a, like a mountain lion who was coming along killing the animals, you know? And then other people were like, oh, it had these flaming eyes and all this stuff. And they even now have the Beast of Bladenboro Festival every year. So they into this, you know, big thing, you know? And so it's just neat to me how we can, you know, again, do we really know what happened? No. But just hearing the stories themselves and reading the stuff, it just makes my imagination, you know, kick into overdrive. And then I can include some of those stuff, you know, not some of that stuff into stories like you'll see in Vetted for Murder. And, you know, just have different aspects of the South, the Southern lore, you know what I mean? Like the Southern stuff in there. And it's just fun.
I always like to end the podcast by asking my guest, who is always a mom, of course, do you have any advice for moms listening on how to, like, we'll put this one into writing specifically. So do you have any advice for moms on how to start their writing journey? Especially if they have little kids, or you were a homeschool mom. So, I mean, they were always with you. You did a lot. And here you are, wrote books. So what advice would you give a mom that's like, hey, I want to write a book too. I want to start this. I want to write a cozy mystery. I love mysteries.
A lot of times when I get advice, I will then feel, you know, I'll listen to it. And I'm like, oh, well, I've tried that, or I can't do that, or that doesn't work for me, you know? And so I guess my best piece of advice is find what works for you. Like, you don't have to follow some plan. Like, you know, you might see the little cute little writing wisdom things that says, write every day, right? Always write every day. And I'm like, really? Because I couldn't. There was no way that I could have written every day, right? Some people are like, well, you know, just, you know, even if it's the shopping list or whatever, I'm like, people, I might write it down. I'm going to lose that shopping list. You know, what good is that? Because I lose everything, right? And so I don't lose my kids, but I lose everything else.
That's the most important thing. You're doing great.
Yes. Although I did walk around a party one time with one of my children on my hips at a family party. I just had my baby, my youngest child, and I had my middle child on my hip, and my oldest was walking around. I'm like, where's Zoe? Where's Zoe? Where's Zoe? And my uncle just looked at me. He goes, isn't that who you're holding right now? And I was like, yes. In my brain, I had like switched them.
That's hilarious.
I had such mom brain at that moment. So I
didn't. Hey, but you didn't lose her. You didn't lose her though.
He teases me to this day, and she's 21. But anyway, my advice is to find what works for you, because what works for you might not be what works for me. I had somebody say at a writer's conference, they were asking us the same question, and we're sitting in this big round table, and I'm surrounded by these, you know, people who have tons of books published, and I have Being Frank, which I'm very thankful for, but it was already like 3 or 4 years old at that point, and you know, just tons of books. Mm-hmm. And one of the ladies said something to the effect of, oh, well, my children know that when I go into the room and I shut the door, that is when my work time. And that's okay. Like, if that works for her and her kids, that's awesome. But mom would have been slipping notes under the door, you know, peeking in, you know what I mean? Like, there would have been an emergency as soon as I shut the door. That doesn't mean anything was wrong with my kids. That was just the difference. I was homeschooling, you know, and we had things to go on, and I couldn't really go in my room and shut the door. Right. Because my job was to homeschool my kids. And so, I just said, I was like, look, I'm lucky if I have, you know, I have time for any of that. And then I said, and whenever I do get to work and I do sit down, you know, basically, you know, I'll just realize, hey, I need to put down my computer and wash myself a bra. Like, it's one of those things where, you know, you just get so involved. You know what I'm saying? Like, finally, when I'm sitting, I tease my husband. I was like, I can be a good mom and I can be a writer. Or I can be a good mom and I can be a good housekeeper, but I can't be all three at the same time. If I'm writing, the dishes are probably going to suffer. You know, my clothes are going to pile up, you know, that sort of thing. And with homeschooling, of course, it all piled up anyway. Yes, I'm better now. but anyway, I just think you have to find your own rhythm and you have to be okay with that. Don't compare yourself to other people. Don't compare your writing process with other people. Don't compare your books with other people. Don't compare how many books they've sold to how many you've sold. I had to, you know, I was always very thankful for the books that I'd written. And then I was like, oh, but I don't have another one. I don't have three or four. And I'm like, you know what? That's okay. Like, you know, I need to focus on what I need to focus on. And when the time is right, it'll happen. And when I'm able to put forth the effort that I can put forth into it right now, all I can manage is this amount. You know, one day it might be this amount and then it might be back down to here, you know, because seasons in life come. And for me, you know, there are things I love to write and it's definitely something that I want to do, you know, want to have more things published, but there have just been things in my life that like for Moose in my story that came ahead of that, you know, that were more important. Mm-hmm. And so I guess my advice is just to give grace to yourself and to find your own way. Don't worry about what all the experts tell you, you know, don't worry about how many books other people have, or if you don't have any out yet, you're still a writer. Mm-hmm. You're still moving towards that point in your life. So whether it takes, you know, 5 months or 5 years to get there or 10 years to get there, you're still moving towards that goal and you're moving at your pace. So give yourself grace.
Find what works for you and then do that. Don't listen to other people. And that's why I like to ask everyone advice that I have on the podcast, because everyone has something different to say, because there's no perfect way to do anything. So I'm totally glad that you said that. So thank you.
I will say this too. My oldest daughter gave me a beautiful gift yesterday. She didn't even realize it. And I don't know that she'll, if she watches this podcast, hopefully she'll see it. She sent me a little meme and it said something to the effect of dear fellow or dear writer. Every writing day does not always fall into plan. So if today was a disaster or it didn't go according to what you wanted, it's okay. Give yourself grace. Love, another fellow writer.
Mm.
Now she has started writing a book, and she's like, Mom, when are you going to finish your book? Mom, are you working on your book? Mom, are you? And when she sent that to me, I was just like, yeah. Oh, you get it. You know, like she's writing now, mm-hmm. and she's doing a great job. Like I'm so just blown away by what she's doing. And she'll write to me like this morning. She called, she was talking to her younger sister, but she's, this is for Mom. And she says something like, I spent an hour on one chapter or one paragraph. And she's like, because I ended up researching this detail that I needed to know, because it's kind of like historical. And she says, so I needed to make sure that the place that I was mentioning actually existed during that time, you know? And she was, and you would appreciate that. I was like, honey, yes, because that's kind of what happens with me, right? I'll get sidetracked. And, yeah. But it is just, it's such a beautiful thing to me to see her writing and to understand, you know, the other side of that, that it's not this linear process, you know, well, I'm going to write a book and then boom, you got it. Right. I'm sure you've had that too, right?
Yeah.
You get sidetracked in your, and I don't mean sidetracked necessarily, you know, like, you know, you're just daydreaming. Sidetracked as in other things that come up, right? How do you deal with it? What is your advice? And I know this is, what would your advice be?
My advice? Oh man, no one's ever asked me that. I've heard a lot of advice. This is, what episode is this? 122 or 123? I think this is 123.
Good for you. That's awesome, by the way.
Thank you. I think the hardest part is starting, because you see the end goal and you're like, I don't have the time for that. Especially as moms, I don't have the time for that. There's no way I can get to that. But break everything down into just doable steps, you know, like again, you don't have to write every day, but maybe try to do, you know, a little bit every few days, write a little bit. And, you know, if, as long as you do little chunks leading up to whatever you're, you know, the big thing, you'll get there eventually. Like just keep doing the small things that add up.
Yes, I love
And make small goals along the way. Like, oh, I'm going to write either this many chapters or this many words or whatever. Don't necessarily give yourself like a time constraint, but have little mini celebrations along the way. Like, oh, we get to this point. Yay. And then, you know, okay, I'm going to get to the next point. All right. Now I'm going to get to this many words. Then before you know it, you're going to be at the end, and it's less intimidating than it was when you just think, how in the world am I going to write, you know, 50,000 words in this? Because when I first started, I was like, okay, I'm going to write 50,000 words, kind of like a NaNoWriMo thing, 50,000 words. I'm going to do it in 30 days and it's all or nothing. And then you don't reach that point. So then you just never look at it again. You can't do that. What do they say? Don't let one bad day make you feel like you have a bad life. I like that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people will be like, I can't do it. I'm going to stop. And they completely just scrap everything.
Yeah.
Perseverance. My husband always likes the word stick-to-itiveness. I love the word
stick-to-itiveness. I love that too. And I love your thing about mini celebrations.
Yeah.
Like for me, this whole thing, this is actually a big celebration for me. Because again, it's been 11 years since being Frank, but the fact that you're like, oh, you're excited about it. And then you like, hey, I've read your book. One person's saying, I'm going to read your book. I'm like, really? You're going to read my book? Like, you know, and like, it's the things that, you know, I would not have thought 11 years ago that they would still want to be, you know, to like being Frank would out there, but it's gaining momentum and, you know what I'm saying? So it's like the little things that you don't see down the road coming back, you know, or coming to you, you don't know that these things are going to happen. Well, my behavior is really big in that. Anyway, you don't know that those things are going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm such a weirdo. I know. It's
okay. No, I could probably talk to you for 6 hours.
I'm serious though. I love that. Many celebrations. That is, yes, I love it. I'm going to write that. I'm going to write that down somewhere for me, because there can be times that I'm seeing the big picture, like, you know, well, as far, I mean, not necessarily about books, but about other, because to me, that's really good for life in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not just
writing, but even with like my housework, oh, I got the dishes done tonight, right? I got all the dishes done. They're put away, you know, or I got all the dishes done. They're not put away yet, but they're all clean. So yay me, you know.
That's me with laundry. I'm really good at doing laundry, but I'm really bad at putting it away when it's clean. Yes.
You're like, at least it's clean.
Right? That's the main thing. At least clean.
So yeah, I know. I love that. That's great.
Donna, thank you again for talking with me today. I could talk to you for like 3 days straight. I think we can have really fun conversations.
We can have fun.
And to reiterate, go to my Instagram or Facebook. It's just at Moms Who Create Podcast and enter to win a copy of Donna's book, Being Frank, because 20 are being given away. And it's a really good book. And if you have little kids, you're going to love it. And it's helpful even to me. When I was reading it, I was like, okay, Kelly, you could probably say things different sometimes. And in the show notes of this episode, I'm going to put all of your information, Donna, and your website, everything on there, and your page on Flashlight Press, and links to Instagram and Facebook. So you can go enter and go follow Donna and get her book. And if you're a cozy mystery fan, Vetted for Murder, I'll put a link to that too, of course. So go to the show notes of this episode. So thank you, Donna, for being here. You're amazing.
Oh, you are too.
If you want to hear from me on more days than just Mondays, go to momswhocreate.com and sign up for my newsletter. I don't send out a lot of emails, maybe one every week or maybe one every 2 weeks, but I try to pack it with some goodness, some inspiration, what women are doing in the arts, and things along that line. So again, momswhocreate.com, you'll see it pop up or in there somewhere, and just sign up for the newsletter. Also follow me and the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at Moms Who Create Podcast and at Kelly Heil. Thank you guys so much for listening. I will be back next week with another mom/author. You guys have a good week.